everybody. Welcome back to Two Geeks at the Movies. I am your co-host, Chris. And as always, I am joined by my brother and co-host, Rob. What's up, Rob?
Hi, how are you?
Hey, I'm super. I'm better for having watched this movie, or at least that it's over, because it is bone-chilling. We are going to be talking today about a movie. We mentioned it last week if you heard our podcast. If you didn't, the movie is called Men. It is a, I guess it's a horror. Yeah. It's from just this year, I guess, 2002, directed by Alex Garland, who is best known for directing Ex Machina and Annihilation, which were other, I wouldn't say similarly themed, but movies that aren't just straight up sci-fi, or I mean, they really give you a lot to think about. He has a lot of deeper ideas in his movies than just throwing out some sci-fi or some horror and hoping it sticks. I think he's really fantastic.
I think he draws in kind of genre enthusiasts, whether that be horror or sci-fi. I feel like Annihilation is a bit of both, and doing some cool stuff, and yeah, sneaking in some headier themes and some headier ideas, and he definitely does that in this. This is, I had mentioned last week, I think this is his most divisive movie.
Absolutely, and I would have... They seem to get more divisive as they go. I mean, he's only really had the three major movies, but Annihilation was one that I could definitely see dividing people on, especially sort of the ending of it.
Yeah.
But there was still some stuff that sort of a casual sci-fi fan might have held on to. Whereas this is, I think I could see it being very appealing to some horror crowds, but it's not like a slasher movie or something that's just, you know, here's some people getting killed. When it gets to the last third of this movie, it takes a turn that I don't think a lot of people are going to be prepared for. Mm-hmm. I certainly wasn't, even knowing what I know of him, and it really kind of bowled me over. But
I was talking about this movie with three good friends of mine who are all fans of horror movies, and all three of them were like, oh, we were loving it and on board with it for so long, and then they were like, but I really didn't like how it ended. I don't like this movie. I was like, what? How could you not like this movie? I don't want to say too much about the ending, but yeah, it's not for everyone. It reminded me in a sense of a movie that came out a few years ago called Mother, that was, okay. I think it was Aronofsky.
I think so. Yeah.
And it was similar, where you were either on board for it or you were like, fuck this. This is,
yeah.
But
what I liked about this, and again, we'll talk more about the ending, And it's the same thing that I think turns a lot of people off, is the ambiguity of it, because it is, it just leaves you, not only do you not get the answers that you are hoping you're going to get, it just leaves you with so many questions, not just about what happened, but like, what does it all mean? What are the themes? What is he trying to say? Because it is in no way just laid out there for you. Yeah. And again, if you're looking for a movie that is going to challenge you to dig deeper, then this is a great movie for it. If you're looking, if you're not into that, which is totally respectable, I mean, it's fine to not do that, you're not going to like this, because I pictured watching it with my wife, who would not make it. Like, I feel like she would be very into it for about two-thirds, because it is so creepy and weird, just at least unsettling, that it kind of grips you, and you want to know what's going on with it, but it does not deliver any answers. So
no.
Yeah.
In fact I turned to Mo while we were watching it, and I paused it about maybe a third of the way through, and I go, if you're expecting all of this to come together in some commonsensical way, it's not gonna happen, just so you know. And maybe knowing
now,
that
did Mo watch, yeah,
it makes it a little bit better. Yeah,
yeah. Did Mo watch the whole thing with you?
Yes, she did.
Did she like it?
She did.
Oh, good.
And that was, I actually told her before we watched it, I was like, I just want to see what you think about this. I was like, I don't know if you'll love it, but I want you to see it. And yeah, I was happy that she wound up liking it. And some of it, I think, I've seen a few things online that say it's not anti-feminist, but just is more misogynistic than the movie lets on. And there's all these different arguments, but I think in a way, and I'm a man, but Mo, uh-huh. Mo picked up on it being about kind of the strength of women. And then some of, not all men, but some of the like more toxic men that women can find in their lives. And there's a ton of that sort of stuff. So I think a lot of that appealed to her.
Yeah. That shocks me.
Silly lady.
It shocks me to hear that anybody would look at this and say that it's anti-feminism, because yeah. I think that it's, I mean, I feel like the deepest message in it is this, that the shit that women have to put up with, mm-hmm. From men. And oh yeah, that's wild. But again, that's kind of the interesting thing about this movie, is it you can see those themes kind of boiling under the surface, but it's not laid out very well. And when you get to the end, you really have to wonder what the hell they're trying to say. So again, I think we both really, really like this movie. We would recommend it if you have a strong stomach and are willing to dig a little bit deeper on something. So I would definitely say check it out. But from here on out, we're going to be spoiling this movie. So if you haven't watched it, go watch it, come back and listen. But let's talk some details on men. Rob, tell me all about some men.
Yeah. Whenever I've talked to anybody who hasn't seen this movie and I start talking about, I saw this, I saw something called Men, people are just like, what the hell are you talking about? Is this a porn?
It does sound like that, or it sounds like a very generic magazine for men.
Yeah.
Check out our cigar reviews in Men magazine.
I subscribe to GQ and Men. It's what did you ask?
I didn't really ask anything. What did you think about the movie? You want to talk about what it is? Because we haven't really said that yet.
So it is a horror movie. It's about a woman played by
Jesse Buckley.
Yes. Who I think is excellent in this and was apparently nominated for an Academy Award for not this, but something else.
Oh, okay.
Which is interesting. But she has a trauma in her life with her, it's her husband, right? Not boyfriend.
It's her husband, yes.
Her husband. And they've gotten into some sort of fight that leads to her wanting to get divorced. He says, if you go through with this, I'm going to kill myself. She says, you know, that's rightfully so. She says, that's totally unfair for you to say that. They get in a fight. He hits her. She kicks him out. And then the next thing that you see is him falling from above her. It, like, they live in an apartment, and she looks out the window and she sees him falling from above where they lived to his death. And it's a little bit ambiguous as to whether he's killed himself or whether he slipped, but either which way, dead, and horrible trauma to her, and so she decides to get a VRBO in the English countryside to start the healing process.
As is the way.
But she gets it, and then some kind of weird shit starts happening in this small little town.
Yeah, and the weird shit is so unique, and there's not degrees of uniqueness. It's just unique and so bizarre, because she keeps encountering all these men that live in this small little village, but every one of them, from the police to the vicar, the even a little boy, are all played by the same actor, Rory Kinnear, who some of you might recognize him from. He's been in some of the James Bond movies, and he was in a great HBO show that was on this year called Our Flag Means Death, about some pirates. I think he was in something called Penny Dreadful. So again, some of you might have seen him pop up, but he plays every one of these men in, I don't know if that was sort of a pointed way of saying all men are the same.
I
mean, it kind of seemed like that. That seemed to be what they were getting at. And he is so bizarre and creepy, and keeps popping up in, again, some of the guy who rents her the house, and they all have a slightly different look. And she encounters some of them that are more hostile than others, and one that is particularly creepy and hostile, where he's just walking around naked the whole movie.
Yeah.
Which was shocking and daring for Rory, but
yeah.
That there were a couple of times that when he first showed up that just scared the hell out of me. I don't get real scared at movies, even horror movies, but this one was exactly what I like out of a horror movie, because I felt completely unsettled the whole time.
Yes.
Like, I just felt like everything going on was wrong, and I did not, it just made me so uncomfortable.
At one point, when you see naked Rory Kinnear, what's the character's name? The main actress.
Let me look it up. It's Harper.
Harper. Harper is in this house that she's renting, and you just see him outside, kind of wandering around, looking in, which is my nightmare.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I don't believe in ghosts or demons, but the idea of another human being peering in my window
is, yeah, I hate it.
Creepy. And the fact that this one is in broad daylight and you see him so well, and she isn't seeing him, she always has her back turned, is so fucking creepy.
It's awful. It has that unsettling feeling of Midsommar.
Yes.
A lot of it takes place in the broad daylight. Mm-hmm. And it is, you feel like that should be safer, but there's the first time you see him in the shadows is in that tunnel. There's a part where she's on a walk, and she's very isolated out in the woods, and she finds this tunnel that is clearly creepy, and it's one of the worst things, because you just see him in the shadows way in the distance, and he stands up, and it's the first time you realize there's somebody else there with her, and just turns and starts running directly at her. Yeah. And you don't even see him very well, because he's just still all masked in the shadows, but it's so unnerving. And then when you see him the next time, it's just panning through as she's taking a picture of this broken down old farmhouse, and she takes the picture and drops the camera down, and suddenly he's just there, and he's not next to her, he's off in the distance, but he's totally naked, and it is horrifying. It is so hard to see. And from that moment on, I just felt off.
And even the stuff that's not overtly scary, like at one point she's in an old church crying, and or no, she's actually screaming because she's thinking back to what happened with her husband, and is obviously like it's this overwhelming sense of like guilt and frustration and anger and all this stuff. And this priest, this vicar sees her. Mm-hmm. And initially you think he's really trying to help her. And then there's this weird, it's almost subtle, and she doesn't shrink away from it too much, but he puts his hand on her knee.
Yeah.
And it's just inappropriate enough to feel like, oh, I don't like this.
Yeah. And it's one of those, it was one of the first moments where they started to really hit that idea of how men treat women. And it's that idea of physically putting your hand on somebody to control their emotions.
Yeah.
And then he tops it off with, because she's explaining her guilt-ridden feelings about what happened with her husband. And instead of consoling her, he kind of says, well, what do you think you did to push him to that? And it's that whole idea of it happens so much through this movie of men sort of blaming women for the problems and what they're doing, when clearly she was the victim. He hit her. She was afraid of him. He was sort of abusive in a way where she had her phone and he was grabbing it from her, wouldn't give it back, and trying to control her that way. And it was very clear from all of it that in any relationship, there's always two sides to things. But in this movie, you could tell that this guy was the problem.
Yeah.
And the priest had nothing to do with that. He just said, well, what do you think you did to drive him to that?
Just the assumption that it was her fault. When she was kind of bearing her soul to him to help her. And he's just like, well, it seems like you were the one who fucked up. And I like her response to him, that it wasn't her having fear. And you kind of see throughout the movie, her kind of building up this armor to some of this toxic masculinity. But the fact that she just stands up and is just like, fuck you, and storms off. Like, I'm not putting up with this shit.
And that's a good point that because she is terrified from that first moment where she's in the woods and she's running and she's almost a little hysterical, to where it gets to the climax of this movie and she is just, she just kind of sits down on that couch towards the end.
Yeah.
And is totally calm, which is wild. Mm-hmm. When you see what happens that come, right before that. But
I can't wait.
But the vicar kind of point, there's a lot of, on top of just men and how they treat women symbolism, there's a lot of religious symbolism in this. Obviously, there's the scene where she first gets to the house and she plucks an apple off the tree, and Jeffrey, the Rory Kinnear that has rented her this house and is showing around, makes a very uncomfortable joke about Adam and Eve and how she shouldn't have eaten the apple because of mortal sin and all this, and then kind of plays it off as a joke. But that kind of stuff keeps coming up with the religious aspect, and there's the baptismal fount that we keep seeing over and over throughout the movie that she sees in the church, that obviously has a lot of symbolism towards the end of the movie. So the baptismal font has stone carvings. One of them is a male face, which has green leaves, or well, not green, but you can tell it's like leaves around it, that is something called a Green Man, I think is the name of it, which sounds like something from Always Sunny. But it's this pagan symbol of sort of nature and rebirth, but it's a sign, this male face. And then on the back side of the font, away from, kind of hidden away from view, is the female figure, which is exposed breasts and an exposed vagina as though giving birth, which is so interesting because they kind of hide that, which is obviously the female symbol is traditionally the symbol of nature and rebirth. And they go way in the opposite direction with the men on this. And again, I think it's sort of a condemnation of how religion treats women, particularly that they're almost taking away that role as creator, as mother, mother nature, and assigning it to men And that it just seemed like a lot of stuff going on there where clearly they weren't real happy with the way women are treated in religion.
Yeah. And there was that. And you mentioned the Adam and Eve thing, because I believe in the Bible, it's been a while, but Eve is the first one to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And yes, she's the one who kind of tempts Adam. So, I mean, that goes back to just, like you said, religion's treatment of women. I mean, it goes all the way back to the first book of the Bible.
Right.
And then, and this is part of what I love about this movie, is there's so much to talk about, and so many ways to look at it, because by the end, I don't want to get too far into it, but there's some stuff just about, like, is there jealousy in men of not being able to create life? Like, is there something behind that? Is there jealousy of women and their sort of power and strength in the world and what they contribute that is maybe part of why these men in particular, not all men, but within the universe of the movie, that men are trying to keep her down and make her feel less.
Yes, they're just constantly talking down to her. Even the little boy.
Oh, the little boy's a little shithead. He needs a
sister. Yeah, and he, because he wants her to play a game with her, and when she doesn't, he like calls her a bitch and storms off. And it's like, yeah. God, that's, you know, just another thing where they learn early.
Yeah.
So
even Jeffrey, who's maybe the kindest of of all the men in the town, has a lot of just subtle misogynistic comments about her.
Right. And like the whole thing about when she first comes and he very awkwardly cautions her not to flush feminine hygiene products down the toilet.
Yeah.
And it's just so awkwardly put that, I mean, I'm obviously just right out there for the theme, but
yeah. Yes. Yeah, some things are subtle. Some things are not.
Yeah.
The ending is very subtle. Wait, no, it's not.
Should we talk about the ending?
Yeah.
Cause that's really the whole thing here. It's so, again, the movie is so unsettling all the way through, and Rob had mentioned to me that there was some body horror involved in this movie. And I think you had a similar reaction as I did to this, because there's a part where, again, from here, heavy spoilers from here on out, but there's a part where one of the men is trying to get at her and he puts his hand through the mail slot and she stabs him through the forearm with a big kitchen knife. And then he starts pulling his arm back out, slowly cutting his arm in half lengthwise, like goes right between his middle and ring finger, so his arm is hanging in these two dangling ribbons. And I thought, this is horrible to watch. And I thought, okay, at least the body horror thing is over. But my God, was I wrong, because eventually the Rory Kinnear with the naked one shows up again, and he's been gluing or like cutting his face and putting leaves into it until his face now resembles that green man on the baptismal font. And suddenly his belly starts swelling up, and some part of him, I believe maybe his taint, rips open, and he gives birth to another Rory Kinnear. And these and it just keeps going with that, with these, each one that comes out, another one swells up and is born from him in another horrible place. Somebody comes out of the belly button, another one comes out of the back, finally out of the mouth. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, and the, I was so happy when all of this started happening.
Yeah.
It's this incredible. Kind of shit is right up my alley. These crazy practical effects. And I was talking to Mo about this, and I was like, there's so much artistry that goes into this, and you have to be so talented to make something so horrific.
Yeah.
Especially in these crazy practical effects. And I start thinking about just like the behind the scenes day of Rory Kinnear. Like, okay, this is all right, Rory. This is what we're doing up in today.
And, and that must have been a mess.
Tomorrow you have to crawl out of this crazy prosthetic.
So do you think that was all, do you think they were all practical?
I think it was all practical.
I think you're probably right. I couldn't tell, which is a good sign. It's probably means that it's practical, but
I should look that up, but I'm pretty sure all of it, if not most of it, was practical.
It is one of the goriest things I've ever seen.
Yeah. It's incredible. And we had talked earlier about her kind of slow, I don't know what I'm trying to get at, but as each consecutive Rory Kinnear comes crawling out of the one before, she looks more and more, she's initially pretty terrified of it, and more she looks down on them as if they're just like pathetic.
Right.
Like, really?
And they all have similar wounds to what, because it when her husband fell from the building, mm-hmm. there's a scene where she goes down and finds his body, and his head is crooked to one side, one of his hands has been impaled on a fence post and cut basically in half the way that the hand was cut with the knife, and one of his feet is turned sideways and broken. And in this scene, each of the Rory Kinnears that is born has the same injuries. The hand is always the same. The leg is always the same. And obviously it culminates with the last one that comes out is actually her husband. And he goes, and this is where she sits down on a couch and just kind of sits down next to him very quietly and calmly. And they discuss, she asks what it is that he's looking for. And he says, he just wants her love, which I think is another one of those pointed things that they're saying men can use to control women, that they can treat you like shit. They can hit you. They can beat you. They can abuse you. They can chase you around and terrorize you like the Rory Kinnears have done to her this whole time. But in the end, it's all just an excuse that, oh, we just want your love and affection. But I don't think that that's enough.
Yeah.
At least was my reading. I don't know.
Yeah. It's a cheap way to be like, I've done all this horrible shit to you, but I did it out of love. I just right. need you, baby.
And that it's again, this would have been an easy movie to just say, oh, this is all about grief and the manifestation of her grief. Because I think there's an element of that in that, but I think that the treatment of women and what she had to deal with is a bigger theme, at least in my mind. Now, somebody else might look at this and say, no, absolutely, this is all just how her grief manifests. But in that end scene, she's holding a hatchet, which she had been told to her friend who she kept texting with, said, you get that hatchet and chop him up if he attacks you again. We don't see how it ends with her and the husband on the sofa. Do you think she killed him? Do you think any of it happened?
Right. So that's another one of those things where any answer I give you, mm-hmm. 5 minutes later, I'm gonna be like, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I don't
know that's important either, but
I don't think the movie's ultimately interested in the real answer to that.
Yeah.
It's still fun to think about.
It is, because the next morning you see her just sitting sort of serenely out in the garden, mm-hmm. but she still has blood on her. There's a trail of blood along the front steps when her friend shows up, who's also visually pregnant, which was interesting.
Yeah.
Which I'm not sure what the symbolism of that is, maybe sort of giving it back to women.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's very ambiguous as to if it happened at all, because there's not a trail of Rory Kinnears out in the garden.
it's interesting because this time watching it, and I didn't pick up on it the first time. I think it says something that there's the shot of Rory Kinnear, naked Rory Kinnear, cutting his head and sticking leaves in it.
Uh-huh.
And Harper's nowhere to be seen. So it's, I took That's that true. As this, at least that part of it is happening. There is some weird naked dude who's been kind of terrorizing her and is shoving leaves into his face.
Okay.
And so I took that as that, and then this kind of weird pagan symbolism on the baptismal font. So there could very well be some weird supernatural kind of stuff going on. And then maybe there are all these kind of horrible men in the town, but maybe it's just her manifestation of grief and the trauma in her life making them all appear as kind of the same
person. Yeah. What do you think? There was a very awkward or just very vague symbolism in the middle of the movie where there was a dead deer. There's kind of this overhead shot of a dead deer carcass. It zooms in on its eye socket, and then you see a lot of symbols of the baptismal font and some other just weird symbolic things. And then it zooms back out and you see the carcass again, and it's in a very advanced stage of decay, which I don't think happened over the course of the movie, because the movie's only over a couple of days.
Yeah.
But of anything, that was the most vague to me. I'm not sure what that was about.
I
Do you have any thoughts on that?
I did not. I was racking my brain to try and figure it out. I was like,
yeah.
Is this a Cronenberg thing where the eye socket is a vagina and
everything else in this movie was
the camera is a dick? I don't know.
A lot of sort of those lingering shots of nature that were sort of beautiful but also unsettling with the music set behind it, that I think played into that idea of the green man and nature and rebirth. And
yeah,
the music's
great. There's no big like recognizable themes, but it's very quiet and helps to have this sort of unnerving
and there's sort of that repeating chanting sort of it's the thing that she's yelling or like kind of singing into the tunnel.
Yeah, that keeps.
Yeah, and then it repeats within the score of the movie. That's also just kind of disturbing.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a movie that, I mean, if you didn't enjoy how it all ended, I would not fault you. But, I mean, I hope if you watch this, that you take some time to sort of think about what it was. Maybe read up on it. Mm-hmm. I want to go back and rewatch it and note some of the quotes, because there's a bunch of quotes that were said towards the end that seem like from classical literature, maybe from the Bible, I'm not sure, but I feel like there's tons of meaning in what those are, and I want to really take some time and look at that.
A few last things I want to just because I think we're going to wrap up.
Yeah, I think we're running out.
But I like the shot when the vicar shows up at the house and he has the ripped apart arm. There's a shot of Harper from behind and he puts his hand up on her, but the hand is
split. Yes.
So there's two fingers on one side of her neck and three on the other. And it's so
I think that's how she got the blood on her neck.
I didn't think of that.
Yeah, it's really disturbing.
The last thing I was going to say is there are not, usually I feel like when people are like, oh, people walked out of the movie, or at the Cannes Film Festival, half the crowd walked out.
Right.
I had at least two or three people in my theater get up and walk out at the end.
Oh, like, really?
During that end scene. And I don't know if they were just like, I'm done with this, or if they were too grossed out by what they were seeing. But
it's one of the most grisly things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
In a fantastic way, if you're into that. If you're not, I could definitely see that bothering people.
Yeah.
giant manginas just opening up and dropping out Rory Kinnear's. Exactly what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Well, this was a fun one. I feel like there's so much to break apart in this movie. So check it out if you haven't, and make up your own mind on it, because it's really interesting.
All right.
Well, I think that's going to wrap it up. So Rob, if anybody's looking for us online, where can they do it?
We are on Facebook, where you can like us. We are on Twitter at Two Geeks Movies. We are on Instagram, and you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podomatic, and Stitcher.
Very good. Well, thank you all for joining us, and we will catch you next time on Two Geeks at the Movies. Be safe out there. Watch out for any Rory Kinnears.
Yeah, especially naked green ones.
Hanging dong.
Bye, folks.